Amen. We've been in this series on promises, the promises of God. A promise of God is what God has declared he will do for his people. So if we're his people, then we ought to get excited what he's declared he's going to do for us. Amen. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather them from the west. I shouldn't have to preach this. We could just shout because it's a tremendous promise, is it not? I've read this throughout the week at the hospital and at the nursing home. I read this to folks because it's a tremendous promise. If you'd been noticing in verse 2, there's a word that reoccurs, passes through the rivers, walketh through the fire. I want to preach about the promise of through. The promise of through. I've already explained, I'm not going to re-explain, this was first spoken to Israel in history, but Israel were the people of God then, we're the people of God now. And the principle of this promise applies in 2012. Amen? Amen. The promise of through. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, shut up our hearts to the truth. Remove every distraction. Father, you know every need in this house. You know what any person or family is facing and struggling with. Lord, you know the inner thoughts. And I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would take your word this morning and you would minister and you would address the needs. And God, you would call folks close to you that you might be with them in life's perplexities. Anoint me, God. Anoint my mind. Give me clarity of thought. And Lord, I pray, oh God, by the time this altar service comes, people's hearts will be challenged of the goodness and greatness of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Sometimes, though we would prefer it, God's promise isn't, I'm taking you out of this mess. Sometimes God's promise is, I'm taking you through this mess. Amen. You see, the key word, as I pointed out in these verses, is the word through. Through. I remember one time what to me was a time of greatest crisis in my life. And I felt the pressure in an extreme way. It was just destructive. And one of my former roommates at Bible school, he heard I was having a tough time. And during this time, I had this thing that I had to walk. I just had to get out and walk. And if you walk with me, you have to put the juice to it, because when I walk, I don't have a low gear. It's just the way I'm made. But this friend from Bible school, he said, I just want to come over and be with you. I said, all right, but I just feel like I need to walk. He said, I'll walk with you. And so we started walking. And he's walking with me trying to keep up. And all of a sudden, I heard him. He just kept saying over and over, he's a close friend, call me by my first name. He said, Clifford, you're coming through this. Clifford, you're going to make it through this. Clifford, you're coming through this. You're going to make it. You're coming through. Well, we got a friend too. He's called the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what you're facing, but I think if you'd listen this morning, you'd hear the Holy Spirit saying, you're coming through this. You're going to make it. You're coming. How many believes he's the God that takes you through? He's a God that takes you through. Through most simply means coming out the other side. Hallelujah. You're going to come out the other side of this thing. To go through means you have not been stopped. You have not turned around. You have not been defeated. You're going to make it to the other side. And I want you to know this promise isn't just about surviving and making it. It's the fact when he gets you through, you'll be unscathed. It's the fact that he will take the journey with you. I mean, all through that promise, this is what you hear. I will take the journey with you. Oh, it's even better than that. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sit down at the right hand of the Father. He's the author and the finisher. He's a pioneer. He's a blazer of the trail, but he's the one that walks with us on our journey. Hallelujah. I want you to notice, first of all, the grounds of this promise. In verse 1, there are two things to note that God says about his relationship with his people. The two things he says is, I created thee and formed thee. Those are the same thing. He said, I've created thee and formed thee. And then he said, I have redeemed thee. Even I've said over and over in these series, our confidence in the promise of God, our faith in his promises, is based on our relationship with him. And that's what he says. You can trust me to keep my promise. You can trust me to keep my word because of the relationship that I have with you. Well, what is God's relationship with us? He said, I'm your creator and I am your redeemer. I'm telling you, on those two pillars, you can base every promise of God. You can rest your relationship with God. He is our creator and he is our redeemer. He said he hath made us. He had made Israel. He called Abraham out of Ur. He gave him a godly seed, a multiple seed. He formed them into a nation. He blessed them, gave them great wealth. But he's made us too. Hallelujah. I love the scripture. Amen. I learned it very young in Sunday school. It's one of those ones you learn. But all through the years, this has surfaced over and over again. Psalm 100 and verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I want it to be settled in our hearts. Amen. We have this relationship. Number one, he created us. I said he created us. He is our creator. Amen. I worked while I was teaching Bible school with a friend that was a cabinet builder. He was very particular. And I learned right off when we got ready to put those things in the trailer. Amen. How careful he was of how we placed them in there. How careful he was on how we hauled them. How careful he was on how we installed them. Why? He was their maker. He knew what went into them. He knew what they were expected to appear like. And I remember the lessons he taught me of how to be so careful with those because they were his creation. I'm telling you, we are God's creation and he is careful with his. But not only has he made us, he has redeemed us. He has bought us. He said, for I have redeemed thee. He had formed Israel from Abraham's seed, but they went to Egypt. They were in horrible bondage, but by the great plagues and by the shedding of blood, God bought, God redeemed, God brought his people out of bondage. I want to tell us this morning, folks, number one, we are God's because he created us. But number two, we are God's because he hath purchased us with his own blood. He bought us on the cross. When he shed his blood, amen, he purchased us. Amen. Peter puts it this way, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, hallelujah. Are you his this morning? Amen. Has he created you? Has he redeemed redeemed you. Hallelujah. It's a story from another time. And I've told it many times. I just want to tell it again because I've never heard a story that illustrates this so well. But back in the days when they did such thing, this young boy got one of those models of a boat. And he labored to put that boat together. He got that little model boat put together. He went to the local city park lake and he put that boat on the lake and he was sailing it and everything was going well till a gust of wind came up, blew it on the other side of the lake. He ran over there, but by the time he got there, somebody else had found it. Amen. Several weeks later, he was downtown. He was walking down the street and you know, people today don't understand this, but people used to just walk down the street of Main Street and look in at the windows, you know, see, window shop. But he was walking down the main street, looked in the window of a pawn shop, and there was his boat. He went in there, and the owner came and said, "Can I help you?" The little boy said, "Yes, that's my boat." And you know, the man just kind of smiled knowingly at him. He said, "No, son, that's not right." He said, "Somebody brought that in and sold it to me. I paid money for that." The little boy said, "That's my boat." And the pawn shop owner said, "Anybody could make up a story like that." Well, the little boy said, "How much do you want for it?" The man told him. He ran back home, got his little piggy bank. That's antiquated too. Got his little piggy bank, broke it open, got all the money that he had, and he went back to the shop, and he paid that money for that boat. He went out of the shop carrying that boat in his arm, and somebody heard him say, "You're twice mine. I built you, and I bought you. I built you, and I'm telling you, we're twice God's. He built us and he bought us. He created us and I'm talking about the premise of the promise. I'm talking about why you can be assured that God will keep his promise to you. We are twice his." And then he said, as the grounds for this promise, he said, "I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Amen. You see somebody, you want to get their attention. A waiter, a waitress, somebody in the store, you don't know their name, you say, "Hey, you. Hey, you." Or maybe you say, "Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am." I want to tell you this morning, there's no "hey, you's" with God. Hallelujah. He knows your name. Glory to God. There's no "excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am" with God. He knows your name. Hallelujah. And when God calls your name, it's because he isn't just after anyone, but he's after you in particular. Amen. I may not know the name of the man on the street. I may not know the name of the kids of the man on the street, but I know the name of my kids. Hallelujah. Oh, I want you to know God knows the names of his children. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. And one of the interesting things is that our name involves his name. How can you say that? Because your name is child of God. I never thought I would do this. You'll have to indulge me and forgive me. But I want to give you an illustration from a kid's movie, Toy Story. How many remembers Woody? Buzz Lightyear. I remember Andrew had one of those stuffed toys of Woody. It talked. He left it on my bedroom floor. And the night I got up in the dark and I stepped on that thing and it said, "This is a stick up, put your hands up." I mean, 2 a.m. Maybe we need to play that over the PA. Hands up. But at the front of that story, Buzz Lightyear, he was feeling important, claiming he was an astronaut. And Woody wanted to bring him down to his place, and he said, "You're not an astronaut, you're just an action figure. That's all you are." Well, that got to bother him, Buzz Lightyear. This isn't in the Bible, okay? I want to make that clear. That got to bother him, Buzz Lightyear. He got really disillusioned, and Woody found him with his head hanging down, and I want to quote him. I don't want to misquote Buzz Lightyear, but he said, "I'm just a stupid little insignificant toy." Now, that's all been humorous, but how many's felt a bit like that? And Woody gets to feeling bad, so he tries to comfort the one that he had discouraged. And he said, you know, you must not be thinking clearly. Look over at that house. There's a kid there who thinks you're the greatest. And it's not because you're a space ranger. It's because you're his. You may just be a toy in action, but you're important to that boy because you're his. And Buzz Lightyear got to thinking about that. And he lifted up his foot. You can go ahead and cry, even though it's a story. He lifted up his foot, and in permanent magic marker on the bottom of his foot was that little boy's name. And Buzz Lightyear put his foot down and broke out in a smile. I'm his. Now that's just a little silly kid's movie. But when you begin to feel insignificant, like you don't matter and you can't make it, you need to take a look at your heart, and it's stamped there, child of God. I'm his. Oh, hallelujah. Then he said, fear not. I'm talking about the grounds of this problem. Fear not. Did you know the fear of the thing in the end hurts us far more than the thing itself? I heard this quote many years ago. Cowards die a thousand deaths. The brave die but once. Fear. It's all through the Bible. Fear not. Why? Because we fear. We fear what appears is going to happen to us. We fear what is happening to us. We as parents, we fear whether or not we're going to be able to provide for our children and raise them. We that are breadwinners, we fear we'll lose our job. We fear we're not going to be able to keep up with the bills. We fear we're going to get sick. We get sick, we fear we're not going to get well. We fear that our intimate relationships will not last. But the prophet said, you need not fear. You belong to him, and whatever you face, he has promised to take the journey with you, be there with you, and get you through it. He will not leave nor forsake you. We have a basis for the promise. And then there's the need of the promise. In history, there were waves of foreign armies, the Assyrians, that were coming into Israel and burning the houses and razing the cities and destroying the land and uprooting the people and leading them away from home. And now the people of God are being persecuted, and they're foreigners in a foreign land are heading there. At least they're heading there, because in verse 2, even Isaiah said, you're going to need this. You're going to need to know that when thou passest through the water, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Amen. You know this to be true. I don't have to ask you. But what are the two greatest calamities that can be feared from a man or for his home or his house? We know what the two greatest calamities are. They're water and fire. Even think about your news this summer. The greatest calamities that we've heard about in the news have come from fire and water, fire and flood. And both of those things are mentioned in this verse. When you go through the waters, when you go through the fire, the flood and the fire, and it's a bit disjointed, but I kept thinking, going through the fire and going through the flood, and I thought of that old song, some through the water and some through the flood and some through the fire, but all through the blood. We may go through flood and fire, but we can make it because we've been through the blood. If you've been through the blood, you can make it through the flood. Hallelujah. Amen. What a promise. What a promise. But let's look at this. What does it mean to pass through the waters? That means when what you are facing, I am facing, seems to overwhelm us. It's like the picture of a shipwreck, the rising floodwaters of a hurricane. They're waters so deep, they will engulf and drown and bury and overwhelm. How many remembers that feeling when you were swimming swimming and got too far from land or too far from the side of the pool, and all of a sudden you realize your feet wouldn't touch the bottom. And maybe you tried it and you tried to get your feet on the bottom and you realize the waters were covering up your head. Amen. When you pass through the waters, amen, we have an expression like that. I'm in over my head. Anybody ever felt like you were in over your head? Amen. This promise is for you. But they, I believe this promise also looked backwards to a historical event, the Red Sea. I mean, the children of Israel were backed up to that sea. The Egyptian army had come to annihilate them. They were trapped. There was only one way out of that mess, and it was through that Red Sea. But they knew the waters of the Red Sea would surely drown them. The psalmist says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come up unto my soul." Have you ever felt that way? The waters was rising. The tide was rising. You were facing a Red Sea that was certain to drown you. But I want you to know this promise is for when your problems seem to be overwhelming. You need to know He's not going to let you drown. Hallelujah. And then the promise moves on. When you go through the rivers, the thing that's different between the waters and the rivers is that the rivers have a current. Amen. There's a pressure. This is talking about situations in life, amen, that threaten to knock you down, push you over, push you into danger. I think this also looked back, Sister Chrisman, to the Jordan River. Amen. And they faced the Jordan River, the Bible said, at flood time. I mean, there was no way to ford that thing. Jordan River at flood time. That current, if they had stepped in, that current would have dashed them to pieces, washed them downstream, dead to the Dead Sea. Amen. The current's forces at work, out of our control, brought to bear upon us. Amen. It wasn't just having to cross the river. It was the timing of that thing. They could have crossed at any other time, but it's flood time. But I'm telling you, there's a promise. When you feel powerful forces driving against you, trying to push you this direction, that direction, push you into destruction. But He also said, not just through the waters and through the rivers, but He said through the fire. What's the fire? It's a real test. It's a real crisis. It's when things really heat up. It's when your very faith is in question. And this part of the promise looks forward, because in just a few decades and hundreds of years, there's going to be three, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the king is going to say, if you don't give up your God and bow to my image, I'm going to cast you into the fiery furnace. And God knew that was coming up. And so He wrote it for the three Hebrew children and for you and me. He said, when you face the fire, the crises of your faith, you've got to know something. You may go through the fire, but I'm going to take the journey with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People of faith have always dealt with fire and flood. In Psalm 24, it said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. The proud waters had gone over our soul. And then later the psalmist said, thou hast caused me to ride them men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou brought us out into a wealthy place. Way back in the Psalms, the testimony already was, they tried to ride over us like water, but you brought us through the water and through the fire into a wealthy place. I want to ask you this morning, have you found it to be true? Has He been with you through the water and through the fire? Hallelujah. And then I want to talk about the promise in those situations. I want to revisit it just quickly. Amen. Verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Amen. I want you to know one more time, the promise isn't that He'll keep us from going through the waters, but that He will be with us. I may want out of my problem, but he wants to join me in it. Hallelujah. Amen. Think of this promise. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. I mean, think back at the Red Sea. Israel looked back. There's the Egyptians. They look forward. There's waters that would drown them. But then there was a pillar of the cloud of God's glory that blinded the Egyptians. There was a wind that came from God and blew that Red Sea. Amen. Made a path across it. Oh, hallelujah. At their moment of feeling like they were going to be drowned or slaughtered, the presence of the Lord appeared in a cloud of glory and made a path across the Red Sea. Amen. I remember that little picture Bible I had as a child. I remember looking at those pictures during the preaching, and they always had that picture of passing through the Red Sea. And you know how little kids think? I was thinking when I looked at those walls of water reaching far over their heads. I was thinking, was that kind of like an aquarium? Could the little kids look in those walls of water and see fish swimming around? Anyone ever thought that? And then you picture a little kid in that picture, and you begin to think, knowing your own frame of mind, what would happen if one of those kids took a stick or his finger and punched it into one of those walls of fire or walls of water? Would it spring a leak? Would it cause that thing to become collapsing? Now, what I'm trying to say, even though God made a path, it took an act of faith to walk that path between those walls of water reaching over your head on either side. That took faith. But if ever they faltered, all they had to do is look up. And there was the pillar of God's glory. And they knew that he that had made the path would be with them as they walked that path. And those waters never came down until their enemies tried to take the same path. Oh, I'm telling you, you can pass through the waters. He will be with thee. Hallelujah. He's promised to be. Just recently, a lady, I forgot her name, was trying to swim from Cuba to Florida. Didn't make it. She got into some jellyfish. But if you'll notice, as she was swimming, there were boats all around her with medical supplies and food in case she got in trouble, in case she couldn't make it. I'm telling you, sometimes we pass through the waters, but he's always there with medicine for our soul, food for our soul. He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Amen. I begin to think when our kids were smaller, over here on Wolf Creek, there's a place you cross it, but sometime in the spring, the waters would be pretty high. When they were real small, there's some rocks you can jump from one to the other. I remember them being a little nervous about that, but I'd say, just get a hold of my hand. I won't let you go. They were nervous, but I said, I won't let you go. I'll get you across. Oh, I'm telling you, God is saying that. I won't let you go. I'll get you across. I've got to move on, but it made me think of when Ashlyn was just about three and Micah's still a toddler. And we were out in California preaching a camp meeting, and we got a big inner tube and got there in that river, and it was colder than we thought, and the current was stronger. And that current got a hold of us and started taking us away from the shore downstream into some really rough waters. And I only had one hand to paddle with, and we got really afraid. I mean, we really did. But I remember to this day telling Sandra, whatever you do, don't let go of the inner tube and don't let go of Ashton or whichever one she had. And I remember with one hand I was paddling and the other I was holding on to the kid. There was no way we were going to let go. It didn't matter what happened. It's just their parents. We weren't letting go. Amen. We made it. You can see that. And you know, Micah and Ashley made it. But I'm telling you, sometimes things get rough. They may not have been old enough to fear, but we did have fear, and we do have fear, and we may have things that, but I want you to know, he's got a grip on us, and he ain't letting us go. He said, I'll be with you. I'm telling you, the grip of God on your life is greater than the forces that would pull you as long as you keep your hand in his. There's no force or power that can break his grip on you. It won't happen. And when thou walkest through the fire, they shall not burn, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Although God's not promised to keep us from having to go through trials, he did promise to bring us through victorious. Now, I want you to notice this. He said, through the fire. Have you noticed, how many just read Daniel recently, and you read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Several of you have. Have you noticed how close they got to death? You don't bend, you don't bow, you're going to burn. God, destroy the furnace. God, kill the king. Did you notice that God never made it so the three wouldn't get thrown into the fire? He never did. It even appeared to the very last moment that God wasn't going to deliver. Think what would have been going through your mind if they were walking you to that fiery furnace. But although God didn't keep them from being thrown into the fire, here's the secret. He joined them in the fire. And the old pagan king looked in and said, something's wrong with my math. Usually is with a politician. But anyway, the king said, something's wrong with that. Came out of nowhere. Don't hold that against me. It just whipped by. He said, did I not throw three men into this fire? Why is it I'm counting one, two, three, four, and the fourth looks like the Son of God? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he didn't keep them from going in, but he sure joined them in the middle of it. Oh, and what happened? In the middle of it, the flame could not burn. The only thing it burned off were the bonds that bound them. But they left that place victorious without even the smell of smoke on them. I'm telling you, he'll join you there. And when you come out, you won't just have survived. You'll come out with the victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Last of all, I want us to look at some conclusions from this promise during the prophet. First of all, the conclusion is the Lord isn't just God. The Lord is our God. Our God. Verse 3, for I am the Lord thy God. Amen. He is our God. One of the things for big name preachers today is to have their own bodyguards. Maybe there's a need for that. That's not my point. Amen. But some of them will say, you know, I've got this bodyguard now. Well, that's great. But I want you to know, if you're a believer, you've got your own personal God. Amen. Forget this about personal bodyguard. Guard. You've got your own personal God. Amen. The Lord is our God. Amen. If you allow him to be this morning, he will be your God through life. Amen. The problem is he can't be my God if I give myself to the world. I give myself to sin. But if I turn to him with all of my heart, he will be my God. He will be the great one, the provider, the protector, the savior of my life. And then another conclusion from the promise is that we are precious to him. Look at verse 4. Since thou wast precious in my sight. I'm telling you, God went to great lengths to create us. He paid a great price for us. We are precious to him. If you pay thousands of dollars, amen, for an automobile, amen, you will take good care of it. That's why we have our kids, even when they're young, amen, to work and make their own money to buy that thing they want to buy. There's something about when you buy it, it means more to you. And I'm telling you, he has purchased us. We are precious. I said we are precious. In his sight. Oh, hallelujah. That ought to cause your heart to soar. You're worth something. You're significant. You're precious in his sight. And then another conclusion we have is we are loved. Verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight, look at the last part of the verse. I have loved thee. I want to tell you something. When you're in the middle of it, hear me. You may question God's ways, but don't ever question his love. You may wonder how and why and how come. You may question his methods and his ways, but don't question his love. He loves you. Hallelujah. Oh, what a wonderful conclusion. Amen. In the flood, in the current, in the fire, know that God loves you. He will never, though he does not extract you, he'll never quit loving you. He will not abandon you. He will bring you through. What shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or peril or nakedness or sword or any of these things, death or life? No, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ our Lord. Amen. A final conclusion we can draw is we need not fear. Amen. Again in verse 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I thought immediately about that time that the disciples were with Jesus in the boat. And Jesus was weary with ministry. And he curled up there or stretched out there and went asleep in the bow of that ship. And while Jesus was asleep, a storm hit. I mean, it was a storm that even the fishermen familiar with that sea were filled with fear. Amen. The waves were pounding. The wind was blowing. The lightning was flashing. The clouds were lowering. I mean, there was never a storm like that storm. And the disciples looked over there in their fear, and there Jesus was asleep. Hallelujah. They're already saying, isn't he going to do anything? How come he hasn't done anything yet? Amen. And the Bible says they awoke him and said, Lord, get us out of here. No, they said, Lord, save us, for we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful? Look, wave, wind, lightning. And you're asking me, why am I fearful? He said, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he got up, he arose, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? They were fearful. They looked at wind, wave, lightning, cloud, but they should have been looking at Jesus. I want to tell you, here's the truth. Jesus was teaching there. It doesn't matter how ferocious the storm, how strong the wave and wind. It doesn't matter how dark the night. It doesn't matter how much the boat is yawing and pitching. If Jesus is in the boat, it's not going down. It's going through. And I want to tell you, that's that way with our lives. It doesn't matter how bad the storm is. If Jesus is in our boat, it's not going down. It's a going through. Could you praise him for it as the music comes? Hallelujah. Go ahead and thank him. If Jesus is on your boat, worship him this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes illustrations are like sermons God gives you. You kind of wonder how it's all going to fit, but you just go ahead with it. But I couldn't quit thinking about this. Just a few years ago, Gordon Yeager was 94 years old. His wife, Norma, was 92. They had been married 72 years, and they died within an hour of each other. They left their house in the car in Marshalltown, Iowa, to go do some errands in town. They had a wreck. They got them to the hospital. Their kids came in, and they both had multiple broken bones, internal injuries. But the kids said, even in their pain, Norma, her chest was crushed. She was saying, how's Dad? How's Dad? And Dad, even though his back and legs were crushed, he is saying, how's Mom? How's Mom? The doctors found out they couldn't do anything for them, and so they moved them into an intensive care room together and pushed their beds up close so they were right next to each other. And here they're hooked up to all those things you're hooked up to in intensive care. But since their beds were close together, Gordon and Norman reached out to each other and got a hold of each other's hand. And they're struggling through those several hours there of pain. They kept holding on to each other's hand. And the son told the story. He said, we were watching Dad. And we watched Dad take his last breath. He quit breathing. But suddenly we kids were confused because we looked up at his monitor. And he was still showing a heartbeat. And the son said, we turned to our nurse and said, how can that be? Dad's not breathing. And yet he's showing a heartbeat. She said, oh, look, they're holding hands. And her heartbeat's going through him and registering on his monitor. You know, I told that because sometimes that's physical death, but sometimes we feel spiritually dead. And we're injured spiritually. And things are a mess on the inside. We don't feel like we have a bit of passion, a bit of life, a bit of zeal. But Brother Wilson, if we've got a hold of his hand and we're letting him grip us, it won't be long. We'll begin to feel his life come from him. And his heartbeat will begin to beat within us once again. And he'll bring us through. How many believes there is life from the Master? Do you have a grip on him? Let's stand and worship him. Do you have a grip on him? Oh, hallelujah. You can make it through. You can make it through. You can make it through. Let's worship him across the building. Why don't you just reach up like his hands right there and get a grip on his hand. Why don't you just do that? Get a grip on his hand. Say, Lord, you said you'd never let me go. I need your life to come to me right now. I need your strength to come into my being right now. I've got to have it, Lord. May your heartbeat register in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I always open these altars for someone that's not a believer. And I want to tell you, if you don't have God, you don't have this promise. The waters will overwhelm, the fire and flood. I want to invite you, if you don't have Christ as Lord and Savior, would you come to this step we use as an altar and just simply say, Jesus, I need you in my life. You're here and you're not a believer. Just come to this altar and say, Jesus. Maybe you're a young person. This is the first time the gospel's really touched you. But you say, I need Jesus in my life. That's open. Will you come right now? Right now. All right. This is it. This is the altar call. Amen. You'd simply come to say, I need this promise. I need it today. Would you come? I need to know that when I pass through the waters, when I pass through the rivers, when I pass through the fire, would you come right now? Don't hesitate. I need this promise today. I've got to have it in my life. Hallelujah. Maybe you're like that illustration. You feel very death in your soul. You need his life to come through you. Would you come right now? I need this promise. I just need to know it all over again. He's going to take me through. That's the key word. Through, through, through. Through. Hallelujah. Would you come and fill this altar? Amen. If you're not coming for yourself, come and pray with someone. Amen. He spoke to a people in unity, a people as a group, the people of God. Not only will he be with us as an individual, he'll be with us as a group. He'll be with us as a church. He'll be with us as a family. Everyone that would come and gather in and either pray or help pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. So many times let him keep his grip.
Certain circumstances.
Oh, let's seek him in the altars.
I could not understand. Many times in trials. My weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustrations get so out of
Child
hand.
Of God. Oh, hallelujah. Child of God.
It's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I've never had hallelujah. To stand one Thank test you, Jesus. Alone.
Thank you, Jesus.
As I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be
oh, hear it this morning.
Hard to climb. He never offered a victory without fighting. Help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, give this will not get heavy, and the hill will not be hard to climb.
Seek him this morning. Holy Spirit, do your work.